Good day, guys. Welcome to the Value Cafe with Esther Opone. This podcast is actually brought to you by the beautiful and the very amazing, very intelligent, and very, very special Esther. But aww. I'm definitely sure you are actually asking the question right about now that why is Esther's voice not yet up? Well, this episode, I am Oluwatobi Ainde, and I'll be the one doing what Esther does always. I would not love to call it putting people on the spot. I would love to call it asking questions that will definitely bring so much value into people's lives and allow other people explain themselves and give so much information. So I'll be doing that this day, and Esther will be on the other side, sitting on the hot seat. Yes, I said I was going to sit down, hot seat. So Esther, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm doing good. This hot seat that you want to put me on, be nice, so I beg.
It's definitely not totally an odd seat job, but how do you feel? How is it? How do you feel being on the other side, being the one answering questions?
Well, okay, let me say I'm curious, and another a part of me feels like, oh, okay, it's time to, like, you know, just put it out there. Whatever question you're going to ask, I'm going to, you know, just be open and honest about it. And thank also you. Another part is also open and praying that I hope this one will not squeeze me out too much. I'm trying to think back onto my other episodes to think, maybe I might have been too hard on some people, and this is my own time to reap the fruits of my labor. But overall, and maybe I had a bit of an experience with that last week's episode already, and so maybe I'm actually enjoying this overall. I'm having fun. So
yeah. So I'm glad you're actually having fun. I enjoyed last week's episode too, and I must definitely commend you for the great job that you're doing with the Value Cafe. I remember that I listened to an episode, the NYC Shenanigans, one of the episodes, and it spurred me to actually pick up a project that I've been thinking about for some time. And now I'm doing that. And right here, openly, I must say, Esther, thank you for bringing up this podcast.
Thank you. You're welcome. And yeah, I'm so happy for you. That's book trips, Abby.
Yeah, definitely book trips.
Okay. I know I'm not an interviewer, but maybe I get to ask you what the concept is about. Don't mind me. I'm crossing over the line now. But I mean, I feel like people should know about what
book trips. No problem. No problem at all. So guys, if you're just listening or just joining us, Book Trips is actually a show that actually brings up writers, poets, storytellers, spoken word artists, and I get to interview them. They get to tell the stories behind their books and how the whole process of the writing came up, how the whole process of storytelling came up, and what were they thinking, what they were thinking during that process. So basically, it's just a show that helps us enjoy the life of our amazing writers.
Wow. Okay. So basically, we get into their heads and their process.
Yes, and their thought process. Well, enough of the questions from you. So it's my turn to ask you questions.
Okay. Sorry, sir.
No problem. So definitely I'll be asking questions based from actually the NYSC Shenanigans, the old pot of soup that has NYC Shenanigans in it, definitely. And but before we go into that, I've always wanted to ask this one question. How did the name The Value Other come up? Because definitely that's what everybody calls you, apart from Esther Opone. Everybody calls you The Value Other, which, well, is an amazing name to me. But I've always wanted to know, how did that name come up?
Okay. I know, but I don't know. So I'd say that coming up with that name was like a process of maybe subconscious like incubation, and then one day it finally clicked. Okay. So excuse me. So a number of times there had been so a lot of the things I'd done or like be inclined towards had been towards adding values. I remember that sometimes I would go for all these boot camps and trainings and seminars, and then they would tell us to write a pitch and like maybe submit a project idea and all of those things, and everything would tie back to so we do this, we create jobs, we do this, blah blah blah, da 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 da, da. We train people so that they can be useful to themselves and then also add value to other people around them. So it was always coming to that, and I just knew that I wanted to make lives and spaces like better than they met me. So even if it is during a 5 minute conversation, they should have either like maybe raise cogent questions in them, or they should have something to go back and Google, or they should have something to go think on, and I would also do the same thing, you know, that kind of thing. So that was just basically it. So I think the moment that really clicked was when I needed a name for my blog. That was in, was it late 2017? I think December, around 29, 30, 31st, I was trying to open a blog of 2017. Yeah. And it got to the part where WordPress was asking me, yeah, what name do you want to give your blog? So I was thinking back and forth, and I just typed, you know, the value add. It just, the words just came to me, and I was like, okay, this actually like fits. And so I would say it's been a process of it incubating. I didn't really come to that name initially, but then it then became a name that was apt for what I was all about and what I was doing. So I guess I would say that's the origin.
Nice, really nice, amazing. So what does value mean to you when it comes to taking actions?
Could you rephrase that question? I'm not sure I get what you mean.
Yeah. So what does value mean to you when it comes to you just doing what you do?
I think generally, I think generally people would say that, you know, value is vague, it's ambiguous. Value can come in any way. But I would say that maybe from the general definition, is value is like the worth of something. And then in addition to that, it would be like the worth, you know, the import that you place on something. Something that, say, increases the worth and the importance of something would be for me to add value. Shake it. But I'm not sure. I think I'm rambling right now, but I'm trying to like explain it organically. So value to me would then mean that whatever it is that I'm doing that is contributing or adding something positive to wherever I am, to whatever situation I am in, or to whichever person is like come in contact with that, whether directly or indirectly, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So as regards what I'm doing, funny, when I write on my bio, or like maybe someone asks me to send a citation, I would say I'm invested in adding value to lives and spaces around me. Then I put the currently through healthcare provision, as a medical scientist, through content creation, through civic engagement, and as a volunteer and all of that. Because I feel like there are so many, as regards what I'm doing, I'm constantly evolving, but the core of like adding value still remains. And so whether it is what I'm doing right now, tomorrow it might change, and yeah, all of that. But at the end of the day, the goal is, oh, people that come into contact with this, when they see me or when I provide my services to them, maybe like as a health professional, the quality of their life or their health is better, whether they see me or not. And content, when they come across my content, you know, they learn something, and the quality of their life also like improves. They have one more thing to work on or something like that. Or civic engagement, you know, when I go out to volunteer, when I go out to do this, whether you as the pioneer of whatever it is I'm engaging with, or the beneficiaries or something like that, at least everybody is getting value one way or the other.
So I really like something that you said. You said something about it, what you do might eventually change at the end of the day. So I think you would it mean that you agree with the fact that would I say purpose, or in the journey of life, you probably are not meant to be fixated with one particular thing at a point. Do you agree that eventually there is always an evolving when it comes to purpose and all of that?
So that's it. That question can be like misinterpreted in a number of ways, but your last statement captures what is on my mind. Like, so when it comes to purpose, I would say that purpose might like maybe remain the same. The why, do you understand? Might remain the same, and the process of you like knowing it, clarifying it for a lot of people is constantly ongoing. You can say yes today, this is it, and then tomorrow you find that what you felt was it is actually just an assignment within the overall purpose. Do you understand? On this involving, yes, I would say that the hows for you, hows as in HOWS, or S, like the ways in which you now go about that purpose can evolve. That along your journey, you might run into some things that would involve you, or that would require you to evolve, say in your method, say in your approach, say in your this thing. You know what this thing was, this there's this quote I've run into a number of times, that the goal might remain the same, but you can shift the goalposts. Yeah, it's not really a perfect example, but it's something around that line. That so for me, I used to struggle with a lot of. I think I this was something that it runs into a part of the conversation I had with my first guest, that's Kezia, and you know it was running into the old, picking one thing and all of those. This is running back to your own, like we are not meant to fixate on one thing and everything like that. But like, if it's one thing that works for you, then yes, and you are sure of it, and of course like go ahead and continue with it. Along the line, it might give birth to some other things, it might like open the doors for some other things for you, but just trust the process. But if it is more than one thing, I think in a way, if you are able to tie it to maybe a core, then you are able to like structure and balance and manage it well, yeah, it's fine. Because even being I would like to say that even being involved in a number of other of things does not mean that you can get to do all of them at the same time. So it might be good for you to like find like maybe an anchor one, work around it, be structured around it very well, such that you can then begin to go into the other ones. Because at the end of the day, if you are stretched too thin in the name of trying everything to fulfill purpose at the same time, then you might end up not being effective in any of them. So anyone you can manage together, or that they don't clash, or they can be merged, or they are complementary, then that's fine. But you can embrace whether it's one thing or whether it's multiple things, I guess. I'm embracing multiple things, so.
Okay, that's really insightful. Okay, so Esther Opone, the value adder, she's a writer, she's a podcaster, and definitely a volunteer. And now I can add to that list, I can say she's a serving core member. Welcome to the club.
It's true, you're my senior year. You went with the
batch B stream 2.
Oh, last year, right?
No, actually January. You actually went for your orientation camp in Sokoto, that's the Wamako camp, which is actually funnily, that's the camp I also had my orientation camp. And I don't know, how was it for you, the orientation camp experience?
I would say it was a very cool experience. Not cool, but it was a nice experience. Of course, there were some downs and all of those things, but yeah, I enjoyed it.
Oh, definitely, you did. But I'm sure you didn't enjoy the 8, because in one of your podcasts was, you guys were complaining about the 8 so much.
Also, especially, I think that podcast was the very first one with my friends. Yeah, I know it was like gauging our first experiences as being there. So
Okay, so how do you feel as a core member putting on that khaki now? Me, I love to call it Jesse though. So but how do you feel when everybody calls you Copa Wee?
I just reply with wah.
Really, you do? Wow, you're quite accommodating, still replying with wah.
What can I do? So it's funny because so I replied back to your state and I'm moving around doing my daily business and all of that, and the same people that have, they've probably seen me 1,000 times before. I don't know if they recognize the uniform. All of a sudden it's not copper, and they seem to always, especially bike men or cab drivers or bus drivers on a pep, they seem to always think they know where I'm going or I'm supposed to be going. So they will say, Copa, NYC Secretariat, Copa, Agodi, Copa, SDP, Copa, this, Copa, I'm like, wait, I know they go there. But then it's fun, and I've just learned to take it in stride and just be good-natured about it. And then there are times when, I know some people don't like wearing the uniform around and all of that, but then there are times when it's like, yeah, one of them, Abby. But for me, I think it has been a shield and it has also opened doors. There are times when I just get favors because I'm wearing the Copa uniform. You know, people just like, this person, probably she's straight, she's new in town. Mm-hmm. All of those things, Copa or something like that. So I remember this day where I think the day I was going to do my documentation at the state secretariat, and for one, there was a terrible hold up around my side, and then people busing, cab, even bike, so fine. A lot of people were at the bus stop waiting. It was like Lagos level. So all of a sudden, I was like, "Hey Esther, hey, how are you going to do this today?" Then all of a sudden, I just heard Copa, come. I just looked like there was one car on the road, and then the family were waving me over to come and join them. Funny enough, their daughter, she was also going to the same place. So, I got a ride directly to where I was going, inside the compound.
Wow.
So, that case and so many other cases like that, and that's when I'm trying to, like, maybe get to a new area, to, you know, part of my old process, and people are like very eager to help and say, oh no, take this route, don't take this route, do this or don't do that, and all of those things. So on the flip side too, I've had people, which is very saddening, that have tried to exploit me because of that. So especially when they see you, they feel like, oh, this person is, you know, she's new in town, she doesn't know so much of this, the things around here, and so we can cheat her. So they hide price of their goods and services. But by the time I'll throw it to Yoruba for them that, uncle, auntie, I beg you, I know how much you sell this thing. And I grew this is literally my area. I grew up in Ibadan all my life. So you understand? From my street, bike, 15 era bike, we now got somewhere. He now said, so after getting to the bus, somebody I was supposed to take another bus, he just decided, it will just take me down to Iwo Road. From there, you understand? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, let me just go ahead. And then I calculated everything. I said, how much is this thing? Now give me one nonsense change like that. I was like, Baba, this is normal. It was like, from your place to the bus stop, it's 100 naira. Then from this place to there, I was like, no, it is 15 naira. It was like, no, that even if you take it from like halfway, like even halfway to the bus stop, not even from your place, it is still the same. I said, Oga, I grew up here. I'm not new in town. I take this thing almost every day. You can't cheat me. He now smiled. He was like, okay. I was just like, so it was somewhat a funny situation because everybody laughed and was like, but it was also very saddening because I wouldn't say the average person, or I don't want to use a blanket statement, but if someone like that already thinks that way at this particular point in time, what then happens if someone like this gets into power? Like, just because you feel like this person does not know any better, then you try to cheat and exploit. Like, I'm one of those people that, okay, I can still know my way around. Even when I get into town, when people describe a route to me, I usually ask that, so what's the price or how much do they usually take this place? Just so I have an idea in case someone is trying to cheat me. But many people do not do that, or many people can't do that. And then you cheat people because you feel they don't know any better. And yet, we'll be the ones to open our mouth and say, oh, government, they're cheating us, they're not doing they're this and that. But you are the same person, like, literally doing this at this year. You know, when they say corruption in high places, this one is corruption in low places.
It was
very sad. And, like, that people are just out to exploit other people. But overall, I think I enjoyed the benefit of wearing the khaki more than because, but at a point, it was getting old. Like, I got tired of wearing it because there were still a lot of issues, stuff that I could have, you know, this paperwork now, stuff that I could have done in like 2 days, and then you had to keep going back and forth. And then exactly. I was like, this copper, is she wearing it to work? but overall, it's a good experience.
So I really get that feeling. And when you said something about people getting to cheat other people, especially when it comes to us core members, like indigenes want to cheat us, and I feel that's because every time they announce that, okay, we have increased the fee for core members from this to that, everybody feels like, oh, they are rich people now, so we can just collect our share of the national cake. You get? And it's always like that. But I really agree with you that it's not something that should happen. Speaking about redeployment, you said you redeployed from Sokoto down to Oyo State.
Mm-hmm.
I redeployed from Sokoto down to Ogun State. But you, during your first episode of NYC Shenanigans with the guys in the camp, there was something about how a lot of people wanted to redeploy, but some people were feeling like, oh, I think I shouldn't any longer. Let me just enjoy the stay. Let me enjoy the flow here. But now that you have redeployed, how do you feel about it? Does it eventually defeat the purpose of NYSC, the essence of the redeployment?
Funny enough, for me, Sokoto is not a place I would have minded staying back in, but I already had a reason that, like, sort of overrides that, which actually prompted my redeployment. If it were about, oh, it's in the north, it is hot, it is this, it is that, I was willing to, like, you know, explore and try new places and new experiences for a year and then come back and all of that. But based on the reason I already had, I didn't have a choice possible. Yeah. I needed to redeploy. I'm not going to be saying my reasons anyway. So do you understand? I think for considering the climb that we are in now with insecurity, banditry, you know, all of those things, the rate at which a lot of people wanted to redeploy, like, increased
a lot.
In the past years, and even more so this year, because people felt like, and I think it calls on, you know, when people feel like they are on their own, if anything happens to them, like, your government does not care, nobody is going to be there to ransom you, or anything can happen to you in another, in a strange land, and you can't, there's nothing you can do about it. And it's even got to the point that people were like, they're not particularly about going back to the states they were coming from. It was they just wanted to be in the region where they were at least familiar with, or that they felt safer in that region. Do you understand? Some people, they wouldn't want to go to the north, but they don't mind being posted to the east or back to the southwest or something like that, because they felt, oh, those places were relatively safer than where I was posted to initially. Or at least, even if I need to run for my life, I can speak the language and somebody can, you know, protect me or something like that. I've had discussions with some people, and those are some of their reasons, that it's not worth it, though, that even the allowance they are giving me is not even up to my transport fare and all of those things. It's not worth my... So why many people are... And then, you know, I think in the end now, a lot of people are feeling less Nigerian than in the past years. So there's so many calls from different corners for, you know, Nigeria to split up, everybody hold their own place, all of those things. So a lot of all those things, I would say, have contributed to. So for me, yeah, for me, it was worth it to redeploy based on, oh, I'm finally able to like do and fulfill the reason for which I wanted to initially. But for me, it was Sokoto is still a place that while I was there, I didn't get to explore because we were mostly in camp, you understand. Yeah. But at least I know that I did enjoy some things too while I was there. So it wasn't all bad.
Did you eat the fura and the wara?
No. So if
Miss Okoto's fura and wara.
See, what happened was I didn't really see them around that much. And then I started seeing them. And then a friend was like, did you eat it? I brought it to a friend of mine from the clinic that we worked in the lab together. He brought it to the clinic and I missed last night. That don't worry, he's going to buy it for me that day. And all of those, that I must taste it. I was like, oh, okay. But I don't think I really stepped out that much. And so we sort of both forgot about it. Yeah. So.
But
I would have loved to, because compared to the ones that people around me here sell in the Southwest, I would have loved to compare.
Yeah.
I
actually got the opportunity to take it while in camp. I don't know how the guys brought it into camp, but I eventually took it and it was really nice. I must tell you, it was really, really nice. So you kind of missed Sha. Probably you go to Sokoto because of that again. So now during the NYSC Shenanigans episodes, you have this episode titled Boo and Bae, and it spoke about finding camp love, and a lot of people on that episode actually didn't eventually find camp love, but there was this couple that found. How did you feel about them?
When I approached them, I didn't approach them I approached them sort of with an open mind. And
okay.
But I feel like it was cool that they found themselves, and it seems to me like they were an intentional couple. They are, whatever the situation might be now, and so maybe in the next few months or years, we'll get to see maybe Ivy, or we'll get to see that they moved on or something like that. But
yeah, it'll be nice.
And I don't know if that 500k that they said NYC promises NYC couples would hold.
Well, that brings me to the question. Did you want camp love? Did you find camp love? Were you open-minded to camp love?
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the episode. Thank you very much, Todd.
No, you cannot shift this question, because this question is with you.
Okay. Oh, God. To be now. Okay, so, yeah, but seriously, though. On camp love ish, I don't know if I was neutral about it. So I was always open. Generally, I'm always open to like interacting, meeting new people, and all of those things. And from past experiences, things have built up from there. Do you understand? Of course.
Yeah. That brings me to the next question.
Okay.
So, are you open for NYSC love, like right about now? Probably with colleagues. Are you open with anything like that?
First of all, you did not even ask me if I have the way you people just look at me on the streets like I'm singular. Oh. God. Oh, you should have started with that question. Like, Esther,
okay, are you single?
No, we are scrapping that. You missed the chance. Please. And because of that, I'm not even going to answer this question. We move.
Oh, nice. Nice.
On that, I would say generally, I would say I'm open. I don't think for me it would be tied to it's maybe majorly about it, whether being with an NYC colleague or not. Sure, you understand. I wouldn't say it's particularly that or anything, but of course, maybe some factors surrounding that might like come into place, and of course you have to consider some of those things, like afterwards, what next, are we going to different places again? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you get all of those things and everything, but generally I would say I'm open.
That's beautiful.
I'm always careful to say things like this though, because then some people want
misunderstand
and then jump on it, and every Tom, Dick and Harry and everything want to say, oh, she's open, and then they just jump here. So, me generally, me liking someone or being open to someone has SOP and protocols, standard of operations, and all of those things. That
definitely,
even if we might like have a good rapport, we might like see one another and be like, oh, vibe, and oh, this person, we could be friends, we could be cool with one another, and all of those things. But stepping forward into many other things, you just see closed door. Sure, you get based on my core values and all of those things. So there's always that first level of filter. I feel like this is going to relationship talk. There's always that first level of filter before my brain will now decide that, Esther, oh, you can like this person. Oh, yeah, go ahead and like. I don't know if that's weird or that's normal. But
No, it's not. It's a normal thing. It's very normal.
So it can be funny that I can be friendly with people, like normal acquaintance, like have like good relationship, be civil, be friendly with you, but maybe an attraction might even be there, but then when you now say, oh yeah, let's do this, I'll be like, ah, nah, sorry. Stop.
Wow, I totally get. Okay, now let's move to the other parts of the series, the NYC Shenanigans. Right here I have with me optimization of the NYC year, which is one episode that actually really touched me. Now I'll ask you, how do you think as a core member we can actually, as core members, we can actually optimize the years and pick the right opportunities for us, you know?
I would say that first is, if you were not thinking, because a lot of people were just not thinking of optimizing the year in the first place, they just want to pass through it and get it over and done with. So it would be to like rejigger mind towards that direction. And again, the same way the guest I had on said that to define what productivity means to you. So define what optimization means to you, because it's not a one size fits all thing. For some people, maybe because previous, like while in school, even maybe if they had like a period of time to wait before they went ahead for NYC, they didn't get to like do some things or experience some things, they can decide to optimize their NYC for that. Your own definition of optimization might be different from mine. For some people, it's be an opportunity for them to like maybe build their networking skills, build their exploring skills. Maybe they're in a new town, maybe to learn a language they've always wanted to learn. You understand what I'm trying to say? Explore, travel, just live life, relax for once. For some people, that's their own idea of optimization. And I feel like you shouldn't let other people's definition of it box your or define your own definition of optimization. But of course, also be forward thinking, be future thinking, and don't just leave it for the now. You get inputs like that. Of course, there's a part of enjoy the moment. Yeah, I would say enjoy the moment. Enjoy everything that you like, be present and enjoy those things. But also don't forget to like think ahead. For some people, this is when they get to work on their employability skills, when they get to work on their business and their business ideas, build connections that would help them later, all of those things. do projects, carry out like community development projects, you know, to better the lives of people around them and all of those things. So, yeah.
That's really nice. We're rounding up really soon, and I'm still having this very amazing conversation with you. It's been so interesting. But this is the last question before we round up on the Value Cafe this today. Are we gunning? I like the we thing. So are we gunning for the presidential award? And when I mean we, I'm talking about you.
I would say yes, but then I've been disqualified from the start.
yeah, because you're redeployed.
Yes, and the reason did not fall into the blanket is no, except it was based on marriage and all of those things. You understand?
Yeah,
but whether it is tied to an award or not, I'll still go ahead to do the stuff I want to do and, you know, make impact and all of those things. So,
oh, nice. So definitely it's still about value for you, not necessarily the award.
yep.
Yeah, that's really nice. And that actually connects with the core of your being, what you are, the value other. So it's been an amazing conversation. Seriously,
yeah.
I've enjoyed myself, and I want to say thank you so much for the opportunity to host this conversation. I hope our listeners enjoyed this.
I hope they have tonight, you and me.
So, guys, thank you so much for actually always listening to this podcast. Don't forget to share with your friends. Esther is such an amazing person. God bless you for this podcast. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, thank you for having me and for percussing me, as you would say.
Okay. Bye, guys.
So thank you very much, guys, for listening to us. I know this is another testosterone spillage, as my friend called it last week's episode. But I actually had a lot of fun, and people are wilding on the street. I mean, Toby, please, you cannot be competing with me. But thank you so much for joining this week's episode. Next week will be the final roundup session for season one, and then I go on a break. And you know, all of those things. Do well to listen through, share this episode and others with your friends, and you can go back and listen to the other episodes and keep your feedback coming in. Bye, thank you.